This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on a Saturday. No Mego, though. John Lyons filling in. And a lot of Red Sox in the first hour, but Lyons, it's time to talk some Patriots because football is right around the corner. Patriots training camp starts, what, just 5 days
Wednesday,
from now?
Right?
Yeah. So
I'll
we're
be
just
there
a few
Thursday,
days away.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, nice. You getting to scout out training camp this year?
Yeah, be down there a few times in the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to it. You know, looking forward to an operation that's actually running well, unlike last year when I was down there.
Smooth operator. Yeah. And I believe Jones and Keefe will also be live from training camp during their program all next week, which will be awesome. It'll be a lot of fun. But the big news yesterday, too, was that Travion Henderson signed his rookie contract. The entire rookie class has been signed. Before we get deep into the Patriots stuff, Lyons, I did want to ask you just kind of about this whole second-round rookie class thing. Wiggy and I have talked about it a lot off the air just because it's so interesting. And it's this whole new precedent now that a lot of second-year or second-round rookies are getting fully guaranteed contracts. And I'm kind of curious what you think that means for the rest of the rookie class moving forward. Will that start to trickle down? Will that start happening in those third, fourth, fifth rounds? Just because for those who don't know, when you get drafted, you're basically where you get drafted determines how much money you make. And then the only negotiation you actually do with the team on your rookie contract is how much guaranteed money you get and the clauses within that and all that stuff. And so I'm kind of curious where you're at right now, seeing this rookie class getting a lot of those fully guaranteed deals.
Yeah, I love it. I think every NFL player should have a fully guaranteed contract. It's the most violent sport in America. Careers are extremely short, and you look across it. NHL players who also play a physical sport, their deals are fully guaranteed. Baseball players and basketball players, their deals are fully guaranteed. I mean, our dear friend Jason Tatum, love him. He's going to get paid $50 million this year to miss most of the season. And he should, right? He's rehabbing. If that was an NFL player, he might lose his job or have to renegotiate his contract, right? So I'm fully in support of those guys getting fully guaranteed contracts. And I wonder, Shime, if this is the first step in the foundation of 5 or 6 years from now, maybe the next CBA, whatnot, where all these guys do get guaranteed contracts. Because these guys, now if you're getting it on your rookie deal, because we're seeing first rounders get fully guaranteed deals, now second rounders, maybe in the next few years we'll see third and fourth rounders get fully guaranteed deals, and maybe that'll lay the groundwork for in the next CBA, everybody gets a fully guaranteed deal. Because these guys are going to come up with, I mean, NIL deals are fully guaranteed for the most part.
Yeah.
So they're going to have fully guaranteed deals in college, fully guaranteed rookie deals. I think this might be the first step in that, or the next step, I should say.
It may be. I never put anything past NFL owners and stuff like that of trying to find a way to pry money away from the players. And the players have to be willing and determined enough to not play football if it means holding out and trying to get these contracts.
And
that's the
been
big issue.
A player's mistake in the last 15 years where they've taken, we're going to have less practices and all that. And that's fun, and that does probably help your body. But what did they get for it? Well, they got a little bit more money, but then they also have to now play a 17th game. And so to me, if I'm the players, I don't know if I've, like, yeah, I've gotten less practice time. That's great. And the salary cap is continuing to go up, but there is still a salary cap, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're playing an extra game. I don't know if they've made out that well in the last 15 years.
Yeah, I think this is a result of how the NFL is combating NIL a little bit. Because, right, those first, I would say probably this might get trickle into the third round, this idea of fully guaranteed rookie contracts, just because those are the most talented guys coming out of college. That, you know, that's the top basically 100 players coming out of college that year. Those are a lot of the guys that are getting the NIL money at that college level. Those guys that you're drafting in the fifth, sixth, seventh round of the draft aren't getting much at all in terms of NIL money, so they don't have that leg to stand on. Like, well, I could just always go back to college and get money there instead of actually coming to the NFL. And this is a way that the NFL is showing them, no. Like, you can come to the NFL, you'll get your fully guaranteed contract if you're one of the 100 best players in the rookie class.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point, right? Because I talked about this around the draft. If I'm a fringe third, fourth round pick, but I can go back to Ohio State or Notre Dame and make $1 million a year, I might do that.
Yeah, and whereas, see if I can increase my draft stock and then make more in the NFL.
Exactly, because then maybe I go back, make $1 million at Notre Dame, and the next year I get picked in the second round. Mm-hmm. So now with these deals being guaranteed, maybe I'm more willing to say, I'll come out as a third-round pick if my deal exactly. will eventually be fully guaranteed, and then I'll kind of go from there. So, again, I think it's a good thing. I think these guys should have fully guaranteed contracts. I think vets should have fully guaranteed contracts. I think rookies should. I mean, coaches' contracts are fully guaranteed. The owners are guaranteed billions of dollars every year.
Those don't go towards the cap, though. That's the difference.
But either way, I think the cap part of it to me is irrelevant. Like, if you sign a 5-year deal for $40 million, you should get $40 million. And if you want to tell me there should be a compromise where if the guy falls off and you have to cut him, that only a portion of that counts towards the cap, maybe half or whatever, I'm totally fine with that. But if you sign, like, it's the same thing. We just saw the Milwaukee Bucks do it with Dame Lillard. They waive and stretch him, and they're still paying him money to not be there. Like, an NFL player should have that as well.
617-779-7937 lines. You got the phone mouse over there?
Yeah. Let's see if I can get this up.
All right, let's go to Bob in Londonderry. Wants to talk about how the NFL money is getting out of control.
No? Zach, can you get this up?
There we go. Bob, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, guys. I enjoy the show. And, you know, I've listened to this topic for the last many years where it started at this point. And I'm one of the guys, jokingly, a long time ago. I'm not one of the big sports people by any stretch, regardless of what we're talking. But I used to tell people, like my father-in-law, I say, you know, Dad, the day's coming where these people, depending on the sport, they're going to get $300 million. And I was just joking. And all kidding aside, we're getting to the point where that isn't the most silliest thing I've ever heard, a little bit. But my point is, how much more can this continue to go? Meaning, I'm older, 5 years from now, 8, no matter the sport, how much are these guys going to be getting? And if anything should happen, I'm not being political, but let's just say something bad happens, like the virus, and they're not playing, there's going to be no sports, no one's playing. Are these guys still going to get paid to just not play because something, they're just not going to be playing?
All right.
I'm just asking if it ever gets to that situation. And
yeah.
I'm
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. I don't know that we'd ever get back to that point again, but who knows?
All that money's put in escrow, so they would get paid.
There you go.
Yeah.
But also, like, the big thing is if the TV money still continues to go up, players are going to make more.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how it goes, right? As the more ticket prices go up, the more the concessions cost in the stadiums, and the more the TV deals continue to go up, yeah, the players are going to get more.
Yeah. And
if the sport's making more, the players get more.
And the owners are making more money.
Yeah.
Like
they don't care.
The coaches are making more money. The players should
make. The owners are not handing out any higher of a percentage of their money than they were because those TV deals and everything else is going up as well. So if everything else continues to rise, then player contracts will rise. If things, for whatever reason, went the opposite direction, then yeah, player contracts would just come back down. It's just kind of the way in which it'll roll.
Yeah, and look at the Celtics, right? Tatum and Brown on Supermax deals. Well, Supermaxes are a percentage of the salary cap, which grows in relation to league revenue.
Bingo.
So
exactly.
The league money goes up, and it directly ties to their salaries, and you can see it in any spot. I mean, look at what Juan Soto just got.
Yeah.
700, I mean, that's a lot of freaking money, but I mean, league revenue continues to go up. It's in New York. The guy, that's there you go. I mean,
and I think that's why you have seen such a drastic rise in like that money compared to like even like hockey money. Like hockey money is kind of just like slowly increasing. The cap has gone up a decent amount, but overall player money is just slowly increasing because the TV deals aren't as insane as basketball, as football, and even as baseball. And so as long as those sports continue, the pigs get fatter, then everybody else feeds. Like, it's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, and I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, if I don't understand why, I know why the NFL owners don't want fully guaranteed contracts. I get it. But if I was the players, I'd be willing to hold out to get it. I mean, I think they should.
617-779-7937. So, Lions, with training camp right around the corner, what is the one thing you're going to look for the most? When you're there, you know, you're going to be able to get to Patriots training camp this week. What is the one thing you want to watch the most outside of the smoothness of the operation in general? Because we all know it's going to be smoother with Vrabel compared to when it was with Mayo. I'm curious what the one maybe player or position group or thing that you're going to be looking for the most is.
It's the offensive line to me. And I'm going to be watching safety. I'm going to be watching Drake May, of course, receiver. But to me, the offensive line is the most important thing on the team right now. And it's the thing I'm watching closely. Because you look at the investments, right? You draft Will Campbell fourth overall. Then you sign Garrett Bradbury, plus you draft Jared Wilson at center. You sign Morgan Moses. Now, we can debate, were they good signings? Are they bad signings? Good draft, bad draft? What point is, they've invested a lot in the offensive line this offseason. And this is an offensive line that was the worst offensive line in the NFL last year. We're talking about a pressure rate around 40%. You want to look at PFF grade, you know, whatever metric you want. Or if you just want to sit there and watch them with your eyes, right? It was the worst offensive line in the NFL.
It's so bad.
Right. It was terrible. So can they be better? And I think we have to be careful about equating better to being good, right? It's not the same thing. But if they can go from 32 to 24, which would still be a bottom third offensive line, that would be a massive improvement. Like, that's what I want to see. Can Will Campbell actually play tackle? Is Morgan Moses at 34 years old solid enough at right tackle? What is
able
going
to
on?
Play 17 games.
What is going on at left guard? Right? At center, I'm really high on Jared Wilson, but he only started 1 year at Georgia, so it's probably going to be Bradbury to start, who the Vikings, a sneaky Super Bowl contender, just let leave. So, to me, that's the biggest thing. And with a young quarterback,
Mike Onwenu, as Mego put it, showed up a little big.
Yeah, Fitzy said the same thing. Yeah, right. So, how does that line look in front of Drake May? Because if this is going to be a team that wants to run the ball and wants to work that short and intermediate area of the field, you're going to need a good offensive. Like, I don't think they're going to throw a bunch of 40-yard passes in this offense. And Kyle Williams might catch a few, but I don't think they're going to throw a ton. But I think they are going to want to run the ball. They are going to want to use a bunch of screens, as McDaniels likes to do. You're going to need the offensive line to be good. And that, so to me, far and away, that's the biggest thing I'm watching.
Yeah, and you and I a couple weeks ago had talked about like the ceiling for Drake May, and I think this is largely tied to that. Like, that, I think this is such an important piece of Drake May's development and his progression as a quarterback in the NFL. Because if this offensive line is equally as bad as it was last year, then you're screwed. Like, he can only get so much better. Now, if you're as you put it, you know, the 20th best offensive line instead of the 32nd, it's like, okay, then there's a lot of room for improvement.
You can
there.
At least work with that.
Yes, the better the offensive line gets, the more improvement Drake May can make. Because if the offensive line is terrible again, you're like, there's just nothing you can do. It's, as much as people don't want to admit it, football is still a game that can and generally is at times won in the trenches. The Eagles showed that to you last year. They had the best defensive line and the best offensive line. And you know what? They went and won the Super Bowl.
And we've seen it, but that's not a new phenomenon, right? The Chiefs have had a good defensive line. You've seen it with the Patriots over the years, right? If you don't have a good offensive line, you're not going to be able to be either a playoff team or at least a team that goes deep in the play. You're just not.
You can't function. I mean, even the Bills, run the plays you want.
An underplayed story about the Bills, because we all talk about Josh Allen and Cook and all these guys, they have a good offensive line.
Deion Dawkins is one of the best left tackles
right.
in football.
Exactly. Like, and obviously Detroit, we know how good their line is. And yep. We know how good San Francisco's. Because again, Christian McCaffrey, future Hall of Famer. They've had great weapons there. Kyle Shanahan, they've had an excellent offensive line for years. So that, to me, is the biggest thing. And a lot of it starts with Will Campbell, because if Will Campbell is good at left tackle, like I think he can be, then it solves a lot of problems. But if he's not, if he is a guard, or if he just has some inconsistencies as a rookie at left tackle, then you're kind of having to rethink how you're doing some things offensively.
Yeah, everybody tells me that I'm making excuses ahead of time for Drake May, but it's like, I am not as confident in Will Campbell as you are. I just haven't been. I wasn't when they drafted him. I wasn't before the draft. I didn't want them to draft him because I would just, I'm not confident in his ability to play left tackle at the NFL level. I just look at him and he doesn't look like an offensive lineman to me. He looks, his body shape is not your normal offensive lineman shape. And so that concerns me. And I am very nervous that he is not going to live up to that potential and that ability. And when you take him number four overall, you as a franchise need to be pretty confident in what he can do. And just I, from the outside, am not. And so, like, if he can't play left tackle, what are you doing? What is your backup plan? Is it going to be one of those jabronis who started last year?
And sorry to cut you off. You look at their offensive line. They've made legitimate investments there. However, all five O-line positions have at least one fair question, right? How does Will Campbell adjust as a rookie at left tackle? Who the hell is your left guard, right? Whether it's Cole Strange or Layden Robinson, I don't know, Ben Brown, Jared, but you don't know who that is.
Yeah.
How is Garrett Bradbury, who was a below-average player last year, is Mike Onwenu in good enough shape at right guard? God. Morgan Moses has played over 1,000 snaps five times in his career, but how is he at 34? Like, I think all five offensive line positions have some legitimate question. Even your offensive line coach, Doug Marone, former head coach, good coach, but it's his first year working here with Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel as the O-line coach. Like, even that, it's not a huge question to me, but it's at least something to monitor. So you still have a lot of questions there, you know, despite the investments they've made.
And the tough part, too, is you just want to see the Patriots win football games this year. But the issue is if their offensive line starts poorly and they have to take time to figure it out, well, the easy games are in the first half of your schedule. The second half of your schedule is not an easy stretch.
Yeah, you got the Bengals, the Ravens, the Bills later on in the year. It's tough, right? And early on, you know, you have games against the Panthers that you think you should be able to win. Like games that you have games against the Titans you think you should be able to win. But let's not forget, the Titans team beat the Patriots last year. Right? So that offensive line, to me, is the biggest thing I'm watching. Obviously, Drake May and his development is huge. But to your earlier point, the O-line is tied pretty close to that, too.
Yeah, 100%. I think even more so than the receivers. Like, I think it
would... Yeah, I would agree because they're going to want to run the ball. And we just talked about Travion Henderson, and I think he can be an exciting part of this offense, but he's not going to do much if he can't block.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I think Kyle Williams can be really good with Drake May. I think that's, like, the perfect pairing. But if Drake May has no time to sit in the pocket and throw the football, then it doesn't matter.
And I think May, like, and we can get into this more coming up, but the biggest thing I'm watching with him is the turnovers, right? To me, that was a big problem last year. There were some bad decisions, some bad throws, and a lot of that is him. But some of it, in fairness, is that you gave up a pressure rate at 40%. Bingo. Like, that's some of it. So, yeah, it's primarily his responsibility, but the better your O-line is, then the better off I think you'll be at quarterback and the better off you'll be at running back. And do you have confidence in any of their receivers to really separate right away off the line of scrimmage? As much as we might like them, like DeMario Douglas, maybe.
No.
Kyle Williams, I think, has that potential, but he's a rookie.
If Steph Diggs is healthy, sure, but I don't know how healthy he'll be, especially early in the season.
So one of the antidotes to that is better pass protection, right?
Bingo.
Like, there you go, yeah.
617-779-7937. Shime and Lyons with you here on this Saturday, but right now Zach is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox 10-game winning streak is over. They kicked off the unofficial second half yesterday with a 4-1 loss to the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Lucas Giolito got the start, going 5 1/3, allowing 4 runs on 5 hits while striking out 6. The lone source of offense, a double off the bat of Roman Anthony in the third. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say following the loss.
I think we had chances, and then we made that base running mistake. You know, first and second, no outs. Alex hit the ball hard, and Abraham, you know, had the bad read, you know, and we got double up. But, you know, we put pressure on them, not enough. First inning, 2 walks. You know, we can talk about the swing, the homer, but the 2 walks before put us in a bad spot.
They'll look to bounce back tonight. Brian Baio taking the mound opposite Shota Imanaga for the Cubs. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI. And across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil gets you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Mike Monaco will have the call of the game. First pitch from Wrigley at 7:15. The The Patriots have now signed their entire 2025 draft class after the team and second-round pick running back Travion Henderson agreed to a fully guaranteed contract yesterday. Henderson and the rest of the Patriots rookies report today for training camp, while the rest of the team will report on Tuesdays. Practices that are open to the public begin on Wednesday. The third round of the Open Championship is underway across the pond. Scottie Scheffler leads the pack at 10 under, while Matt Fitzpatrick is just one stroke behind him in second at 9 under. Their group tees off in about 15 minutes at 10:35. My name is Zach Owen, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Shimon Lions coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Baby, this is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah! Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here, but no Mego today. Instead, it's John Lyons. So it's a Shime and Lyons with you, taking you up until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Full four-hour program for the boys, hanging out, talking football, because we did a lot of Red Sox talk in the first hour, and it only made sense that Shime and Lyons would get to football. There's a lot of questions that we have, or at least that I have especially, and I know Lyons is going to be watching them closely when he's at training camp, the offensive line. But I think the biggest focus for, I'd say probably 90 to 95% of all Patriots fans, would be the starting quarterback in Drake May. I have been ridiculed for my expectations of Drake May entering this season, but in large part, and you can say it's excuse making if you want, but it's because I have a lot of questions about the offensive line. I have a lot of questions about the talent group around him and everything else that is involved in playing offense and football, and not just the quarterback. I believe Drake May has the potential to be good, and he will grow in the correct direction this year, but I don't think he's going to be like an MVP candidate in year two in the NFL after having a tough year one. So, Lyons, I want to talk to you a little bit about what your expectations are for Drake May this year, with the questions at offensive line, with the questions at receiver. You even brought it up. Do you even really have a weapon that can win at the line of scrimmage at receiver? So Where are you kind of at? I know you mentioned the turnovers, but where are you at with what you expect from Drake May, especially early on in this season?
So my goal for him is to be the second best quarterback in the AFC East, right, behind Josh Allen, because the Jets don't have an answer, and I'm not a big believer in Tua. So can he be that guy?
Fair.
And it starts, to me, with the turnovers, right? 10 interceptions last year, 6 fumbles as well. And they were a lot of ill-timed, right? Like, I know the Arizona game, Kayshon Booty basically handed the interception to the defender. Same thing happened with Hunter Henry in the end zone against the Colts. But you look at some of the other ones. Like, he threw 2 against Tennessee. The first one, he got totally fooled. The second one, I felt like he was forcing a 45-yard pass in overtime. And I know, if you look at it, one of the receivers fell down. I get it. I just didn't love that decision. I felt he forced it. And you throw an interception to lose the game in overtime.
Yeah, he was trying to win the game, and he did the complete opposite.
And then the Rams game, right? You have the ball with a chance to win that game. You throw an interception in a key moment, right? So the Bills game, right? We all remember that backwards pass fiasco, which was part his fault, mostly Alex Van Pelt and DeMontre Jacobs' fault. It was a group. But he also threw an interception in the end zone in that game, too. So it was bad timed interceptions, really poor turnovers. And I think a lot of it came from him trying to force things, especially downfield. And that's something that Andy Hart and I talked to him at the end of the season on the afternoon show. And he's one of the things he said is that he wants to be better about getting to checkdowns and just taking what's there. And
I was just thinking that.
And I think that's a big part of it, right? Because if you're forcing the ball and turning it over, it means you're either not confident in your protection, or you're making bad decisions, or you're not seeing what's there, right? Like, and those checkdowns, and look, in AVP's offense, they weren't always there, but sometimes they were, and he didn't take them. And so that, to me, I know we can sit here and say, should he have 30 touchdowns? Should he have 4,000 yards or 3,500 yards? What should the biggest thing by far, and this is true of a lot of young quarterbacks, but I think especially with him, he's got to cut down on those turnovers, and especially the timing of them.
And I think Josh McDaniels' offense, to McDaniels' credit, I think will help with this development. I want to say it was like just a week ago or something. You know how the highlights of the Falcon Super Bowl comeback will just come up, whether you're on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and it's like then you just
get
Shawshanked by it, and you just have to watch it. That happened to me last week, and my first thought in watching was, wow, like Tom was just never afraid to just take what was in front of him. Like, he would take shots. You are allowed to take shots. You're supposed to take shots as an NFL quarterback. But one of the things that made him so great is he was never too antsy. He was just always willing to take what was in front of him. And I want to see that as a growth moment for Drake May. Like, I want to see him be willing to take a couple of those checkdowns and work his way down the field. And then when Josh dials up the opportunity, rip that shot down the field. Whether it's Kyle Williams or Steph Diggs, you get that one-on-one coverage. You see that guy, that matchup that you really like, or you see your guy beat the defender, hit him, rip it. I love that. But in the meantime, take what's in front of you. Take what's given to you. Work your way down the field. Don't turn the football over. Be a little bit smarter with it. And then just allow your athleticism to take over in some of those moments. And I think that you've seen that with Josh Allen's game. You've seen that with Patrick Mahomes' game. You've even seen it a lot with Lamar Jackson's game at times. These guys understand that I can just take what's in front of me, whether it's a dump off to the running back, whether it's a hit Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper for 3 yards, or it's a I take the ball, get out, 5 yard gain, slide, get out of the way, and keep the chains moving.
Yeah, and if you go back to the last time Josh was here, Kendrick Bourne had 800 yards receiving, but a lot of those were short and intermediate routes.
Yeah, definitely.
Hunter Henry had 9 touchdowns. A lot of them were in the red zone, right? So I think if May is better able to take what's there, and that's something that if you go back to his last year at UNC, it was a lot of, I'm looking at my first read and throwing or my second read and throwing.
It's a lot of hero ball, too, though, because his team just wasn't that good.
Sure, but I think just the way he played and the way the offense was, it wasn't like he's going through 4 reads right across
the
field.
Sure, definitely.
And it's something that I think he struggled with in training camp last year a little bit, and I think he got better as the year went on, but that's something now you're in the NFL. You know, your fourth read might be that check down, right? Like getting to that guy, and that's something I want to see more and more from him. The decision-making improved that a little bit, because I think when you watch him play, and I know you're a big supporter of his, the talent is there.
I think the
leadership potential is there. I think the poise largely is, I mean, as bad a situation as that was last year, I thought he was reasonably poised throughout the year. But he did have 2 key interceptions in 2 game-ending situations. Like, that's, I want to see the poise there.
You talk about the poise, though, like just before that interception in the Tennessee game that lost him, He also won them the game there with that final play to Ramondre Stevenson, scrambling
right,
around for 12 seconds.
Amazing.
And exactly. And, like, that's the poise we want to see, but more consistently,
sure.
I guess is the way you want to phrase it. And I totally agree with that. I totally am on board with the idea that Drake May needs to be more efficient with the passes that he makes and not be I hate to use the word lackadaisical, but just be so loose with throwing the football sometimes and allowing for those interceptions. Like, you don't need to win the game there in overtime against Tennessee. You just need to move the football. All they got was a field goal. You just need 3 points to walk away with a tie, 6 points to win. You got to get yourself in position. You don't need it all on one play. And I think that's kind of the growth you need to see from him going forward. And this year, I also think just because of how athletic he is, the checkdowns are always an option, but I think his legs are also going to be a type of checkdown that he is going to have to utilize and utilize well.
I want them to be careful with his legs, though. And I don't want them to go as far as Alex Van Pelt when he was like, oh, we're not going to run May or whatever. I think Drake May's legs, to me, third and short, fourth and short, second or third and goal at the one, that to me is when he's ideal running the ball in the occasional scramble, maybe two or three times a game max. I don't want him running like Josh Allen. I don't want him running like we've already seen him get a concussion last year. We've seen other injury issues. I don't want him running that much. I think it can be part of the offense. And we saw, and if you want to go back, we saw McDaniels do that in 2008 with Matt Castle, who was more mobile than Brady. We saw him do it with Garoppolo and Brissett, specifically Brissett in 2016. So he's done it before, obviously the Cam Newton year, but he's done it before with guys that are a little bit more mobile. So I'm fine with doing it. I'm leery of him in his second year leaning too much on his legs at this point.
Yeah, I get that. I look at it. I want them to do with Drake May, very similar to what Sean Payton did with the Broncos and Bo Nix last year. I think his athleticism was utilized perfectly. Payton picked his spots where he had a designed run for Bo Nix. And on occasion, I mean, Bo Nix had like a 30-yard touchdown run last year at one point. Like, that's what you want to see from Drake May is McDaniels will dial up opportunities for you to run. Otherwise, I need you to use your legs in big moments. You need to move the chains. You're in a third and five. You're in the red zone. Stuff like that is when that matters the most. Otherwise,
and the guy is Mahomes. Like, that's something Mahomes is. He doesn't run that much, but it feels like
it's impactful.
It'll be third and seven, and there'll be no one open, and he'll get 8.5 yards or 12 yards. Like, to me, that is what I would love to see from a running style out of May. Impactful.
You even saw it last year. I think another great example was Justin Herbert, right? Like, his athleticism is underappreciated. And there were times where Jim Harbaugh's like, yeah, get out in space and take it, big dog. Like, you're a big athletic guy. Go for it. And if you find yourself up against a corner, go ahead and run them over. Because those guys, you are bigger than those players. Feel free to hit them. But when you see a linebacker or Jalen Carter in your face, get out of his way and get down. Don't be stupid with your decisions when running. And I think that's going to be a key. Like, just overall decision-making for Drake May when it comes to turnovers and how you utilize your legs and where you decide to take hits is going to be a big factor in how much he succeeds and how much he grows in your team.
And this is an interesting thing about the offense, because obviously they have McDaniels, but then their quarterbacks coach comes from Cleveland, which has used a bunch of different quarterbacks over the last few years, but several of the mobile guys. We saw Thomas Brown comes from Chicago that had Caleb Williams. So I wonder how they kind of shake out exactly how much they want him to run. Because I don't think he's the running athlete Caleb Williams is, but I think he's a solid athlete.
Oh, I think he's more of an athlete than Caleb.
No, I'm just in open space. I don't think he's that much of an athlete.
So I guess
he's a better player than Caleb Williams, I think. But
okay, yeah. big take. I agree, but big take. No, I think what made Caleb special is his
617 texter taking my words out of context. I'm not comparing him to Mahomes, guy. No. I just said have a running style like that.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I compared him to Aaron Rodgers a couple weeks ago, so don't worry about it.
Not doing that.
Yeah, take a deep breath. It's fine.
The people out there who are like, oh, Mahomes isn't that good anymore. Like, he had a down year. Like, you see any of that?
Yeah, of course. He did have a down year.
I know, but like,
he's still good.
Yeah.
Well, that's my thing. So, actually, it was either earlier this week, beginning of this week, end of last week, ESPN had done their list of top 10 quarterbacks. I released mine in conjunction with that because I thought their list was kind of stupid, especially more so the honorable mentions and the guys that were after the top 10. I think they got 9 of the top 10 guys right, just in the wrong order. And I was looking at them like, yes, Patrick Mahomes should be number one. I understand he had a bad year last year, at least statistically, but they were in the Super Bowl, first of all, you know, just throwing that one out there. Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, and he's still
beat Josh Allen to get
three
there.
Super Bowls out of five.
Yeah, right? And I think Mahomes is in that kind of Brady territory where, like, Brady here and there might have a year where he wasn't quite as good, but you still were like,
he's still the best quarterback.
He's still the best quarterback. He's the guy you're taking over.
He has earned that respect. Yeah. That until Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl, you cannot put them over him on that list. You just can't.
And Joe
even
Burrow
if they're playing
as well.
Better, yeah.
And I frankly, I might better. Put Joe Burrow at two.
Oh no, right I now. Wouldn't. That was my big complaint. Is I felt like Lamar some Bobo.
Lamar's a badass. He's really good. It's just. Burrow's at least he went into Kansas City and won an AFC Championship game.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago.
I know.
He didn't make the playoffs last year.
He would have won the MVP, I think, if they did, though.
He played 17 games and they didn't make the playoffs.
And I think that's a knock on him. And
that's
by the way,
a huge knock. Like, many times Tom Brady had really bad defenses, and there were a few of them.
2011, they went to the Super Bowl with one of the worst defenses ever, statistically.
Yeah. And no matter what, he was still in the playoffs. If you want to be one of the elite quarterbacks in football, I don't really care about the rest of your team. Like, you have to make the playoffs.
And I wonder, too, and I know we're going to talk about this more in August, but a sneaky coach on the hot seat is Zach Taylor.
Oh, I don't think it's sneaky. I think he is absolutely
slow
on the
every single year. Like that,
so bad.
They should not have lost that game to the Patriots.
That was the reason they didn't make the playoffs.
Like, Joe Cardona forces a fumble, and then Kyle Duggar forces a fumble on the goal line. Both great plays, but should you be losing a week one home game to that team because of that?
Especially in retrospect, when you look at how much of a mess that organization was and how bad that team was. I like Joe Burrow a lot, but like I don't think you can say he's the second best quarterback in football when he can't even make the playoffs. That's tough. And he had his best receiver. Like him and Jamar Chase were great, and they still couldn't just make the playoffs. I mean, you don't even have to win a game. You couldn't even just get there.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair knock on him. I just think when I look at, I trust him more in big situations than I do Allen or Jackson.
Okay, yeah. Like if you tell me 2 minutes to go, one quarterback, like who
do
you want?
Him more.
I get that. That's an argument I'm totally fine with. My big complaint with the list, though, was some Bobo, because this was NFL scouts and executives, somebody put Lamar Jackson sixth on their list.
Like, come on.
Like, who we put? Who else we?
Like we're sitting here talking about, is he second or third? Like,
yeah,
not
you want to make the argument that it's Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow ahead of him. Okay, I have no problem with that. Even if you want to tell me because he won the Super Bowl last year, Jalen Hurts is in front of him. Oh. Okay, I think it's silly, but at worst, he should be five. Like, at worst. In my opinion, at worst, he should be four.
Probably four, yeah.
So, like, I was, like, looking at this list. Somebody had an honorable mention.
Was a Steelers executive.
Somebody put Aaron Rodgers on their top 10 list. Somebody put Kyler Murray on their top 10 list.
I don't see that. I just don't see that at all.
Do you expect anything out of the Cardinals? No, complete total aside.
No,
I've heard a couple people get, like you try and introduce them as like the sneaky possible good team this year, and I don't buy it.
No, and I think like they have Trey McBride, and that's a nice piece, and
he's
it's
cool.
Another year at that coaching staff.
But Marvin Harrison looks like a superhero.
But honestly, I think the 49ers are going to have a huge bounce back year.
I totally agree.
I think
you.
The Rams, by the way, gave the Eagles their biggest test of the season. The Rams almost won that divisional round game in Philly.
Oh, and they added Davante Adams.
So I think those two teams are the two best teams in that division. I just don't see Arizona. I don't see them approaching. And then Seattle. They trade Metcalf, so I'm not. But that's still a solid team.
Yeah, but
second year head coach. I don't know what to expect out of
Seattle.
Would
you rather have Geno and DK Metcalf or Sam Darnold and Cooper Kupp?
Right. Like,
the best decision.
Exactly. So I look at Arizona as at best the third team in that division. Maybe
just because you mentioned it, and I just want to ask another football non-Patriots related question. Is there any risk that the Chiefs don't win their division this year? Just because the Chargers should be better, the Raiders are a better football team. They're not going to win the division or compete for it, but they're a better football team than they were last year, and the Broncos should be better in year two under Sean, or with Bo Nix.
I think that division's going to have three playoff teams, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and I think the Broncos, Steelers, and Patriots are going to battle it out for that seventh wild card spot potentially. So I think they could have to. I think the Chiefs, like, if you're asking me today, I pick them, but I'm like 60% confident. Like, I think the Chargers have a real second year under Harbaugh. That defense has a lot of talent. Derwin James is a badass back there.
Yeah, he is.
Herbert's really, really good.
Like, that offensive line is cooking over there, too.
You add Mekhi Becton to a line that has Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Alt was a generationally good prospect at left tackle in the draft. And yet Rashawn Slater's so good, they still have to play alt at right tackle. Like, that's how good they are.
Year two, Ladd McConkey. You add O'Marrion Hampton to that mix, too.
There's a lot to like there. Like, so that's the team to me. I could see them. you know, if the Chiefs go 11-6, the Chargers go 12-5. You know, something like that.
Or they, like, win the tiebreaker, they're both 11-6 type thing.
And at some point, like, I wouldn't be surprised if either this year or next year, the Chiefs have a 2009-ish Patriot season where it's kind of, like, they're still a playoff team, but they're not as good. Mm-hmm. They're kind of turning over the roster. Like, this is probably going to be Kelce's last year, I would say. We'll see how much longer Chris Jones is going to be there as well. Like, so it's just some of those things I could see maybe, and like, Xavier Worthy's really good. Feels like they still need another guy in that receiver room. So I wouldn't be sure. It might be next year, but maybe they're going to have a year either this year or next year where they're not quite as good.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to more Patriots-focused conversation coming up here, but I just like going on random NFL tangents because I love football. It is what it is. I'm very excited. We get our first preseason game in just 12 days. Chargers, Lions, yeah. Hall of Fame game. Right around the corner, Lions. I can't wait. Less than 2 weeks away. 617-779-7937. Shyman Lions here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Shine and Lions here. Lions in for Mego on this beautiful Saturday morning. Lions, I keep getting distracted because the Open Championship is on, and my guy Scotty Scheffler has the 36-hole lead, just par the first hole, so off to a good start here.
You know, I've only golfed once this year.
Really?
Crazy.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't start golfing until I was 27, so yep. It was a while. And usually I'll go like once or so a month when it's nice out, and I've only gone once this year.
Yeah, I mean, we did have that stretch of, 13 straight rainy Saturdays, so
that didn't help. Yeah, that's true. That was probably a big part of it.
Especially for a guy who works Monday through Friday during most of the year. So
I have not, I'm hopefully in the next week or so, I'll get back out there.
There you go.
Then get mad at myself for hitting the ball in the woods.
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's exactly how it goes. But that's why they make beer and, you know.
Yeah. Beer, glizzies at the turn.
Transfusions, you know, beer, glizzies, the likes. Pizza, if you go to Treehouse, like it's just, you know, it's real nice.
Have you golfed there, by the way?
Many times. I live 10 minutes away.
Okay, so I have been there, and I love it there, but I have not golfed there yet.
It's the best because, so I was actually just there recently, and you walk nine holes because it's beautiful out.
Yeah.
And then as you're coming down the final two holes, 8 and 9 are headed directly towards the clubhouse.
I knew that. Yep. Yep.
And so as you're walking down, if you're doing it right around noontime, 1 o'clock, as they just start making the pizzas, you can smell the pizza ovens just kind of just wafting your way. And so then when you finish your round, you go in, have a nice beer. Have a pizza. It's a beautiful day.
So you know what? Now you're kind of convincing me to go in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's the best.
I know.
Because I literally live 10 minutes down the
street.
There's
whatever it is, 5 different Treehouse breweries, and the Tewksbury one is actually my favorite, but I have not had a chance to golf there.
Also, what a genius concept, by the way, a brewery with a golf course.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just printing money for any dude.
And the way they set up the tap room inside, like the old clubhouse,
God, it's
phenomenal. Yeah.
It's awesome. They have that giant projector screen, too, in that main area. There, awesome place. Love it. Besides that, let's get back to a little bit of football here, shall we?
Let's talk about sports on sports radio.
Yeah, sports.
Sure, yeah.
Instead of talking about pizza. Then again, I do like talking about pizza.
Yeah, and Treehouse beer.
That's true. Just beer in general.
Yeah.
Anyways, one of the things that I think a lot of Patriots fans are expecting this year into year one under Mike Vrabel, they're looking for that change in winning football games, right? And kind of doubling, and in some people's cases, like nearly tripling their win total from the last 2 years. And one of the reasons for that should theoretically be your defense. Like, with the amount of free agents you signed in the offseason, with the players that you have that are growing, like Christian Gonzalez, who seems to arguably be the best player you have on the roster, plus guys like Christian Barmore should hopefully be healthy this year. Hopefully Keon White takes another step forward. I'm kind of curious where your thoughts are and how good this defense could be, because it's interesting. Like, when you look back to 2021 with Mac Jones's rookie year, the Patriots had a top two number two scoring defense in all of football. Can this defense be that? Because I think in order to make the playoffs, you have to be pretty close to that.
It was interesting, too, because 2 years ago in Belichick's final year, right, they only win 4 games. Offense is abysmal. They still had a top-10 defense.
Yeah.
That year.
I mean, they lost a game 6-0 to the Chargers.
Yeah, and another game 10-7.
Yeah.
Right? So they had a top-10, and again, 7th in yards that year. They would have been top-10 in points, but their offense, this is how bad that offense was, allowed 38 points on turnovers, which
That's the NFL bad.
They got put in so much. I mean, I remember, not to go down this rabbit hole, but like, that Christmas Eve game against Denver, their first possession, I think they forced a 3-and-out, but because of a turnover, is already in field goal range. And the Buffalo game, they forced a 3-and-out on their first possession, but it was a field goal because of an interception by Zappa. So, point being, they still had the 5th-best red zone defense that year. So, they had a top-10 defense 2 years ago. And then last year, it kind of cratered, right? They were way down in yards per carry metrics, passing yards, everything.
They couldn't stop the run. That Jaguars game was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen.
18 straight runs. And then don't forget, the Colts game, you had a 19-play drive plus a 2-point conversion for the Colts to win that game at Gillette Stadium. So they couldn't get overtime against Tennessee, right? They could not get stops in key spots really at any point throughout the game. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong. I can't think of a key spot last year that they got a big stop. I mean, really, they just overwhelmed Chicago's defense, or offense, excuse me, and won that game.
It was outside of week 1. I don't think they could.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, they did get a couple key stops in week 1. And since
But again, that was such a fluke game when you look back on it at the end of the season that I don't even know that you can count.
And that's the thing defensively. Like, when you think tangibly, what can they be better at? Like, think about the end of the first half against Seattle, where they screwed up the offensive play calling, and then they give up a big return, and then they give up a field goal. Like, that situation as a team, can you be better in situations like that? And I think defensively is going to be a big part of that. Can they get some stops in key situations? Like, obviously, in the big plays, too, right? They give up a 50-yard touchdown catch to DK Metcalf, a 69-yard catch for a touchdown to Cooper Kupp. They also gave up another 50-yard catch to Deebo Samuel against the 49. Like, they were giving up these huge plays. Can you cut down on just giving up explosive plays? Can you be a little better against the run? Like,
yeah, you just have to be more. It's not even, you're right, it's not even that you have to be this, like, insanely good defense. Just be smarter. Like, don't let players get behind you. Keep everything in front of you. Tackle. Like, and then stuff the run every once in a while. Don't allow a team like the Jaguars, who were not even that good last year, to have 18 consecutive runs on you. You can't, you just can't allow that.
Like, that to me is unacceptable for an NFL team.
Yeah, that's a lot of that to me, too, is just effort. Especially in the run, like run defense, a lot of that is just effort and being like wanting to stop the run. And I think under Mike Vrabel and with the personnel that you have, you should be better at that. And I also think the pass rush should just ultimately be better. Having Harold Landry, having Keon White, Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, like you should theoretically be able to get more pressure on the quarterback, because outside
of
that,
you definitely should. If you can't, that's a big problem.
Yeah, outside of that Chicago game last year, you didn't get much pressure on quarterbacks.
Yeah, and even go back to like week three against the Jets, where in the first half they tried to constantly blitz Aaron Rodgers and he carved him up.
Yeah,
and it took them, but it took them until halftime
to adjust.
And then they were pretty good in the second half, but it's like, all right, is Vrabel going to adjust faster to situations like that? Like, to me, those are the little things. Like, what impact can Mike Vrabel have in Terrell Williams and these new staff? It's, can they adjust faster? Can they be better in these key situations? Can they not get pushed around? Like, they got pushed around in the run game last year.
Brutal.
Some of it was effort. Some of it was they had guys injured. Some of it was just talent. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Jaguars pushed them around. The Colts pushed them around in the run game. Like, I don't know. Like, you go back and looked at, like, how about the 15-10 game they lost to Miami where they couldn't execute in key situations? And a lot of that was offensively. But that's another huge piece of this team.
And that was with Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley in, right?
Yeah, remember Jalen Polk didn't get his foot in bounds at the back of the end zone? Otherwise, they would have won. They actually would have won. Right?
And then Jalen Polk made a lot of mistakes last year.
Yeah, that's true. He was pretty good at making.
Do you think he makes the opening day roster?
So I think so. I think out of Polk and Baker, one of them will make it. Mm-hmm. And I just think I have a little more faith in Polk.
Yeah,
I don't have a ton of faith in either one, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, I look at their receiver group, and it's interesting because I think Douglas is on no matter what. I think Diggs is on no matter what. I think Kyle Williams is on no matter what. So all of a sudden, like, that's three out of five.
Matt Collins is in no matter what, but could be injured to start.
But I think Matt Collins, that's four. So then you're talking about Polk, Baker, Booty, all these other guys for one or two more. Like, they're only going to keep six receivers. And I think Kendrick Bourne is going to be one, because I think he's a good locker room guy, was good under
McDaniel's system.
Exactly. So, I mean, we just listed five guys. So now it's Polk, Baker, Booty for one spot.
And if you're just going off of who was the best last year, it was Booty.
It was.
Out of the three.
I'm not a huge believer in his, but he was, obviously. I mean, those other two were so bad. Like, and I think, honestly, I compare Polk and Baker similar to Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson, and that out of those two guys, can you get one solid player? I don't know, but like, that should be the goal. Like, you're not going to get four good players. You're not going to get three. You're not even probably going to get two good players. Can you get two solid players out of those four guys?
617-779-7937. Shime and Lions here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We'll get to some more Patriots-related news, because Bill Belichick was back in the headlines this week. We'll get to that coming up next year on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.